Well, good morning. It's good to be here again. You guys get to hear a brand new sermon this morning. I was going to title it Jesus Drives a Tesla, but then I thought that would be a little sacrilegious, so I thought we'll just do Jesus and a Tesla. But one of the things is that, what's kind of cool is that because we serve a living God and He is at work at all times through our lives, like even in modern day, He can still use things that we see in our everyday life to be able to impact on how we're supposed to live for Him. And so that's kind of where my message is going to go this morning. Before we dig in, why don't I just pray for us? Father, I thank You for who You are, the God that You are, that You're alive and well today. Lord, I lift up Lydia, who's at state powerlifting right now. Just calm her. Wrap your arms around her. Let her know that she's loved and she has value. Lord, be with me as I deliver Your message. Lord, give me clarity of mind. Give me Your words, Your message. And Lord, I just ask that it just be able to impact us to make a difference. We pray this all in Your Son's name. Amen. So, Jesus and a Tesla. Well, we're not, Teslas aren't in the Bible, so I don't want you to think that we're going to find that type of scripture passage. We're actually going to go to John, and we're going to go to John chapter 12. However, I kind of want to set the stage of what's going on in this passage that we're going to dig into this morning. And so we're in the last week of Jesus' life, and it's kind of timely because we're coming up to that point in the calendar year, right? I mean, Easter is right around the corner. We're in the middle of Lent. And so I felt like this is very representative to just a great reminder of what's going on. In the beginning of chapter 12, Mary, the sister of Martha, has anointed Jesus' feet with perfume to prepare Him for His burial. There's a triumphal entry where Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and people are saying, Hosanna, here's the Messiah. And the Pharisees, because this is all going on, the religious leaders of the time, they're kind of freaking out. And they're kind of like, we don't know what to do here because this guy named Jesus is getting a lot of attention, and they're looking for ways to arrest Him and ways to kill Him and get Him out of the way. And in this passage that we're talking about, there's some Greeks that are part of the crowd. And they go and they come up to some of the disciples and they have a request. And their request is, we would like to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And I don't know if you're like me, but I mean, I want to see Jesus every single day. I want to get to know Him better every single day. And so I'm hoping that by the end of this, we're able to have a better understanding of who Jesus is and how He can impact our lives. And so we're going to start in verse 20. And it said, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No. It is for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes it. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have light, so that you may become children of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. This is God's word, and we believe that God's word is true. So the request, we want to see Jesus. This came from believing Greeks. We want to see Jesus. And why they went to the disciples, I really didn't know. Like, why didn't they just go right directly to Jesus? And the Bible really doesn't tell us. But finally, Jesus does get the message, and he responds in this way, which I kind of find kind of unique. It's like he doesn't say, "What do you want?" or anything like that. He responds with this: "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Why is he responding in this way? All of a sudden, he's talking about his death. He's talking that he needs to die. In fact, in verse 23, it says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Jesus knew he had to die. He needed to surrender to the will of the Father in order for his life to produce fruit. But it doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 25 and says, anyone who loves their life will lose it. While anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So here Jesus has a message, I believe, not only for everybody that was in earshot of what he was saying, but he also has a message for us today on what it means to be a follower of Jesus, because he says, anyone. And he says, anyone who loves his life will lose it. So what is he talking about here? What is he talking about? If you love your life, you lose it. Well, I think what he's trying to allude to is that if you love your life, you're basically doing anything that you want to do. You're living for yourself. You're looking out for what this world and what our society says is number one. And he says, if you do that, if you want to just live for yourself and just want to do what you love and just pay attention to you and not to anyone else, you're going to lose your life. And that's not the life of a Christ follower. And Jesus is saying that you could lose eternal life with him if you just think about yourself. And he goes on and he says, but anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And so I don't think he means that I need to hate my life or be depressed or make life miserable or anything like that. But I think what he's saying is if you give yourself up for God and surrender everything to him, that's how you can have eternal life. It's a complete surrender of everything. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 13 states, I die daily. And I think what Paul is saying is every single day as a follower of Jesus, I need to die to myself in order to follow who Christ is. And Jesus is stating that we need to follow him by being a servant. We need to think of him, we need to think of others first and foremost. This is something that I had to learn. I've been in the process of learning it. But I had kind of where my life took a turn when I was 19 years old and ended up in Fond du Lac County Jail. And I said, God, I'm going to give you my life. Everything that I've been taught, everything I've learned, I'm going to actually start following it. And I did. My life turned. But about 6 years after that, when I was 25 years old, I remember really struggling with God and just saying, God, what's the deal? I'm single, and I want to have a wife, and I want to have family. And God, you tell me in your word that you will give me the desires of my heart, and that's a desire of my heart, and you're not holding up your bargain because you're not giving me what I want. But you tell me that you want to give me the desires of my heart. And I still remember the highway I was driving down. And it wasn't a vocal voice, but it might as well have been. Because it was like God stopped me right in the middle of that highway. And I was like, Scott, you haven't given that part of your life to me. You see, when it came to my job, I didn't have any worries. I'm like, God's going to take care of me. When it came to even the money that I had and the income I had, I'm like, it's fine. God's going to take care of me. When it came to all the other stuff, I was like, God's going to take care of me. But when it came to who I wanted to be married to and a spouse, I was like, no, that I want to choose. That I want to hold on to. That I want to pick. And God's like, you haven't surrendered it to me. You haven't allowed me to have that part of your life. I need everything. And I said, okay, God, I'm done. I'm done looking. You choose and you show me on who you have for me. And there was definitely some trials and temptations that happened after that. But God chose my wife. And no one fits me better than my wife. But I had to surrender. I had to surrender every single aspect of my life and die to myself. The passage goes on, it says, Now my soul is troubled. But what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But that is why I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. When I read this passage, I think that all of a sudden Jesus is talking to the crowd, and then I think all of a sudden it kind of hits him of what God the Father is asking of him. It's kind of hitting him that he's just like, okay, I need to lead by example, and I need to follow the will of my Father. I need to surrender everything. And I think Jesus realizes that in order for him to surrender everything, he's going to have to die. And he's going to have to die a horrific death. And you can even see some of the things where he's just like, God, I don't want to do this. But he says, but it's not about me. It's about you. And I'm going to surrender to your will. And then it talks about the voice that came from heaven, the voice of the Father. And Jesus said, this isn't for my benefit. I mean, I think one of the reasons is that he had a close relationship with the Father. It wasn't for his benefit. And I think it was probably for the benefit of his disciples, probably for the benefit of the believing Greeks that were just like, hey, we want to see Jesus, or any other believers that were there. But unfortunately, what the passage goes on to say is that many didn't recognize the voice of the Father. They said it was thunder or something else. And unfortunately, I think that that's still true today. Many people are looking and they want to live for themselves, or they only want to choose bits and pieces for God to have a part of their life. And they're not truly listening for the voice of the Father. And if we're going to listen to God's voice, we need to have that close, intimate relationship with him and give everything to him. Verse 32 says, and I, when I'm lifted up from this earth, will draw all people to myself. Jesus was going to be lifted up on a cross for people to see and to recognize. He was willing to not hold anything back because of the will for the Father. He was willing to surrender everything. And what he's looking to for us as believers is for us to be able to follow that example. To pick up our cross and follow him, not think about ourselves, but think about him first and foremost. You're probably wondering how a Tesla fits into this. The beginning of last month, we had a Youth for Christ conference down in Orlando, Florida. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the, it's an app, but it's called Turo. And it's basically where you can, it's like the Airbnb for people's cars. And so you can, and I used it on my sabbatical. And so when I was going down to Orlando, I have a brother that lives in Jacksonville. We were going to meet in St. Augustine. And I'm going through, I only need a rental for a couple of days, and I'm scanning through all the different cars, and I come to this Tesla. And I'm like, that'd be kind of fun to drive. I've never driven a Tesla before. And it wasn't that expensive. So I did check with my wife. I'm like, hey, would this be okay? And she's like, yeah, it's for a couple of days and that'd be fine. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to reserve a Tesla when I'm down in Orlando, Florida. And so a couple of days before I left, I'm like, I don't know how to drive a Tesla. I don't know what stuff I don't know. I don't know how to charge a Tesla. I don't know anything. And so I go on YouTube and just type in how to drive a Tesla. And for like a half an hour, 45 minutes, I just watched. And it is, it's very unique. And when I was reading the reviews, one of the reviews that it said was, this is a great car because the self-driving was great after a day at Disney. And I was like, self-driving? Huh. And so I did some research and I'm like, yeah, this car can drive itself. And so I got to the airport, found the car, and I got in, and I want to show you what happened. I did not touch the gas, the brake, the steering wheel for 2.5 hours. It drove me all the way to my hotel. And it was crazy. But here's one of the things. Because I've had people that have said, there's no way I could do that. There's no way. And I said, here's one of the things. It was a safer driver than I am. It was able to see traffic patterns ahead and rerouted me down a different route. There was a piece of paper that flew across and it moved. And when it was dark and I was driving into St. Augustine, a town I'd never been into, it stopped for a pedestrian to go across on a crosswalk. And the pedestrian's waving at me, and I'm like, I didn't do nothing, but you're welcome. And there was a time on the interstate where traffic came to a really quick halt. And it started to slow down before I even realized that traffic was there. It was crazy. But the thing is, I had to surrender everything. And so when I shared this, a guy said, that's a great sermon illustration. And I kind of went, haha, it is. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, it is. You see, because if we want to have eternal life, if our destination is eternal life with Jesus, who can get us better than him? And the thing is that he's going to guide us better than we ever could. But so many times what we want to do is we want to take the wheel. We want to take control, or we want to say, no, God, I know where I'm going. I know how to get there. And the thing is, just like this car, if I took the wheel, it would allow me to have control right away. The thing is, I think God does that for us too. But he wants complete surrender. And just like this car got me to my destination perfectly, if we completely surrender everything within ourselves, he's going to take us to eternal life with him. But we need to die to ourselves, every aspect of our life. Last weekend, we were going to Minneapolis, and I passed a vehicle. And maybe you guys have seen this too, where it had a bumper sticker that said, God is my co-pilot. And I've seen that before, and I've heard things before. And I've heard people say, If God's your co-pilot, you better switch seats, because God shouldn't be your co-pilot. God should be piloting your entire life. And for me, I'm just like, I don't even want a co-pilot. I want God to have complete control of every aspect of my life so I can spend eternity with him. And yet, just like people had a really hard time saying, I could never get in that Tesla. I could never surrender to that. I think there's so many people of us in this life that are like, I can't surrender my life to God. And yet that is exactly what he is asking of us. He ends by saying, walk while you have light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. We live in a dark world. We need to be light. What Jesus said 2,000 years ago is true today, just like back then. We need more children of light. We need more people who are willing to surrender everything of themselves so they can reflect and shine the light of Jesus. In 1890, a guy by the name of Judson Van Deventer, sounds like a decent Dutch name, He was this accomplished musician and worked as an art teacher as well. And he was a supervisor at art in a local school where he lived. And he was also an active member of his church, and he was involved in a lot of evangelistic meetings. And he was conducting a meeting in East Palestine, Ohio. And for some time he had been struggling between developing his talents in the field of art and music or going into full-time evangelistic ministry. And he writes this: at last the pivotal hour of my life came, and I surrendered all. A new day was ushered into my life. I became an evangelist and discovered down deep in my soul a talent unknown to me. God had hidden a song in my heart and touched a tender chord. And he caused me to sing, I Surrender All. What Judson figured out 130 years ago is still true today. What we need to do is we need to surrender all, every aspect of our lives, in order to follow Jesus. And so we're going to end our service with that song, I Surrender All. And I hope that this is something that you absorb within you and you challenge yourself and just like, okay, God, are there certain things that I haven't surrendered to you? Are there certain things that I don't necessarily trust you completely on and I'm holding on to? And I want to encourage you right now to just be in that position and say, no, I'm going to surrender all. I'm going to surrender all because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through you. And so because you are who you say you are, I'm going to give you everything of who I am. So let's stand and sing.